Welcome everyone to the Blessings of Christ on the 10th day of November. We are so happy to have you here and to provide a sanctuary for you to connect with the blessings of Christ. For whatever you need, for all that he can give, and to give without judgment or prejudice. For he would heal the sick, heal the troubled, forgive the people who had transgressions. He made no judgment. And we come to be in a safe place for the one who loves us unconditionally. And you are most welcome. Nancy, I want to thank you for being here ahead of me. I had a little car trouble getting home. Delayed me a little bit, but there's no trouble that God can't handle. So
right.
We're here and happy to be with all of you. Would you like to say something, or maybe you already have?
No, I haven't, but I'm just, yeah, as always, just so happy to be here. I'm so glad to see so many of us coming online. Hope we have lots of things to share today. It's just been an incredible week, an incredible, beautiful day here. What a privilege, what a joy we get to, and you know, it's okay that you're just a little tiny bit late because you're always here. It's so amazing. So thank you, Glenda. We are so grateful, you know.
I was here in spirit long before I arrived. And it's so funny because I had the pleasure of speaking with Candace Boyer on the phone earlier today. She was Mara's great long-term friend, and they had a lot of wonderful time sharing their place in the blessing community and receiving the blessings of Christ. So we got an opportunity to share some ancient memories about our beloved Mara. And it's so interesting how things are not accidental where Yeshua is concerned. You can take that one to the bank. There's nothing accidental about it. I had just received a letter from Candace, probably as much as a month ago, and I had been so, I did open it just enough to see that it was something she sent me and not an urgent message. So I set it aside because I had been so overwhelmed with my writing duties and deadlines that if something didn't come with a fire alarm, I set it aside because there's a goal I have to meet. And to that end, I was up working still at 4 o'clock this morning. I had spent many, many days working late into the evening. And it's partly because there is so much information from Yeshua about our way up that comes in so many forms and venues. It was a hard, a difficult organization problem to pare it down to the essentials because I didn't want another 500-page book. People will put that down. Today, they're too busy to read it. I wanted something that could be potent and powerful in about 100 pages, which is easy to read and easy to come back to and read on again. And that wasn't easy. So it wasn't for shortage of things to say. It was more for the necessity of saying it the right way and in a way that actually could belong to everyone. Because since 1991 and 2, when I had my conversations with him, I have had the luxury the sheer privilege and luxury of mostly passing on his words to you and how beautiful they are. Who couldn't do that? And there was no stress in finding words to pass on. Just organizing that was about the only challenge that I had. But this is a book that really needed to be for everyone, regardless of whether they even know him or not, or love him or not, because we are living in a very conflicted and challenging world. And we need to get into a greater state of unity, respect, love, and honor. And our recent experiences with coming toward an election reminded us all that we need to be in a higher state of honesty. So this needed to be a book that almost anyone could pick up and read and not feel that their religious sensitivities are being tread on, and at the same time honoring the messages of Yeshua. Well, that wasn't exactly easy, but it was easier than I thought it would be. Kind of like the first time I went to the public to share the portrait of the Lamb of him in The Lamb and the Lion, and I really thought I would have rotten tomatoes thrown at me. And no one even insulted me or claimed I was a heretic. I mean, everybody was so respectful. They really appreciated that I had just shown up as an ordinary person, not as a preacher, but as a human individual who had an experience with Christ and a higher response of living and spirituality. Well, that's the feeling I wanted to create. And I'm getting pretty close. I completed my 88th page last night. 88, I think it's a pretty significant number. Only two chapters left to write. And then it's off to Dina, who's going to be my editor. She has edited books for me since the beginning of time and translated Love Without End into Chinese, which that probably took a linguistic genius to do that. And she is one. So I think she's going to do a fabulous job catching everything I missed and bringing everything to my attention that I need to look at. So that's where I was, which resulted in sleeping late, which resulted in needing to go out for lunch and a little car trouble coming home. But I'm here, and I have been working for you the whole time. And there's more to my call with Candace today, because we also discussed, and I've read this letter that she sent me about a month ago. It was a letter that Yeshua dictated for me to send our blessing community back in 2017. We were still kind of a young community. We started in 2010, but we were still growing in membership and people coming forward. And there must have been something going on in the world that had caused some conflict in those days, because he felt he needed to address it. And the fact that I opened this letter today on our first call after the general election was no accident. So I'm going to read the letter to you. And that's why I didn't send you an excerpt from the book today. We still will go over the remaining contents of chapter 11, and I will discuss my opinion, well, my opinions and applications of them, and read them to you, because they're all important. None are as important as the first three that we covered last week. Even Yeshua said that. He said, these are the basics. When you've got these, the other rights and freedoms will just unfold naturally. But now I'm going to read this letter to you. I wanted to give everyone a chance to show up. Here we go. And it's from Yeshua. My dearest friends, brothers and sisters, I write this for everyone. For those who will come to study my blessing, yes, but also those who cannot yet come. There are those who are hurting and alone, feeling lost and without support. Just know that I am with you always. However, I want you to know that I am with you in the greatest respect for who you are, passing light onto you for all your requirements and desires to be all that you can be. I beg that you do not define yourself as less than you are. Whatever creates your sense of self will control you. If you know yourself to be a child of God, how much more fulfilling will your life be? Love is a splendorous thing. So is your life. Some parts of your person are glowing. Other parts are only half awake. There are parts that have been wounded or disappeared. And still other parts you deny as being impossible. Deep within everyone are a few places they would like to cover up. Unfortunately, you cannot be successful in those parts which are covered, or at least not for long. That's exactly what causes reversals of fortune. We were created to be whole or nothing. Restoration of wholeness is the ultimate blessing. It is the only one that really matters. When you are whole, you become bigger than your problems, even if you do not have answers or solutions for them. You grow into the solution. Your problems dissolve as part of a larger pattern of opportunity rather than requiring local solutions. As a whole, you stop living your mistakes. Even though you may continue to make them in particular ways, you stop defining your life by mistakes and start defining it by all the larger possibilities of your life and your gifts to it. You cannot convey this to another until you know it for yourself. It is for this reason I am teaching more about my legacy to the world of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wholeness. I call you to serve me, but most of all, to serve the greatness that has been planted in yourself as a spark of light, to be a light into the world. I do not sit in a throne in heaven. I am a troubadour on earth, always traveling and touching souls, opening hearts, inspiring hope, faith, and love, one person to the next, from country to country. It matters nothing to me what your worldly condition is, or even your religion. Those are just conventions of belief. I care that you love one another and that you know you are a child of God. I call you to serve me only that you may serve God and discover who you really are. And I love you unconditionally. You are my sister, my brother, my friend. Come and be with me if you can. If not, I will come and be with you. With eternal love, Yeshua. So that was his gift to you today. And I kind of thought you might need it.
That was great. Oh, wow. Thank you, Glenda. Wow.
Thank you, Yeshua.
What a great,
he wrote the letter.
What a great letter. Oh, it's how healing.
Well,
one of the rites, right? Know yourself.
Yes.
Surrender to wholeness.
You do.
Yeah.
This really feeds back on the rites we studied last week and will feed into the rest of them that we will study today. And I'm only going to make a couple of sentences comment on the election because it's over. We need to get on with life. But I do acknowledge that some of you are happy about the results. Some of you are disappointed and perhaps feeling hurt about the results. But I just want to tell you and remind you forever, we are one family and we will work it out. I also want to remind you that God is the ruler for all time. And we, the people, own this nation. Leaders come and go. Just remember that. It's an order of priority. And it's an order through which unity occurs. First, through God. Secondly, through the people. And only transitionally, through those we delegate power to, that do whatever good they can, under the watchful presence of the people and God. And then we move to another. Let's take this in the perspective it truly belongs in. And let's get on with putting our lives together for all the best we can be, to do the best we can do in our communities, because that's really where love happens. That's really where answers are. And that's really where we live. So I do want to thank all of you for being part of the decision. We have been lazy for too long. And that's how and why the conflict built up. Because we've just sit on our recliner and been lazy for way too long. Let's learn that lesson and don't be lazy again. Let's think far ahead to what we truly want and to what is truly possible and become the answer instead of just the receiver. I think that's enough for our church to say because we don't engage in politics and we don't take sides. Well, we do. We take your side, the side of the children of God. And that includes all human beings. So we do take your side, and we take the side of God. God rules. That's the end of that story. And he wins, always. So, you know, always. So, we have one caller on the phone. Why don't we hear from Carolyn, and then we'll get into our study for today.
I think that's great. And I'm going to remember, I've not heard it said quite, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Wholeness, because those are two different words, but wow, that's just important for us all to remember, to call on the Holy Spirit. And what does that bring to us? Give him perspective, you know, wholeness is just part of that whole communication and that whole connection. So thank you, Glenda. And I'm going to open up Carolyn's line. We do have another caller as well. Hi, Carolyn.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I have a request, Glenda, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who will have the same request. It would be lovely to see that letter, have it in one of the emails. It's such an amazing, it's just amazing. So many gems in there, and I think it would be lovely to be able to just see it in writing.
Well, sure, I'll be happy to. Actually, that letter was transcribed by me from him to go to the blessing community. That's what it was written for. So it's already yours. You just didn't come online at that time.
I heard you read it out. It would be lovely. I didn't see it in the email about today's blessing, and it would just be lovely to see, to have that in writing, to be able to keep it as something to look at, to look over.
Well, you know,
is that
this
possible?
Is what Candace told me about Mara. She said Mara kept that letter through the years until right before she passed and read it all the time. So Mara came to us not really from, well, I think actually she was as a child Roman Catholic, but as she went into college and became a scientist and emphasized for her life the laws of science, she became an atheist. She just couldn't see God being described mathematically. And when she first read Love Without End, she said to herself, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. What would actually put me in harmony with the universe and back to God. And from that moment on, she and I became really close friends, and she became a minister, an ordained minister in our church and a blessing giver, and attended many, many of our live blessing seminars. So as Candace and I was talking to Candace was the first to say, she said she's right here. She's not going away. She's not going anywhere. So we have her as a guardian angel, and I'm sure that's why I got this letter sent back to me, because for me, it was one of many transcripts I've gotten from Yeshua, and I filed them all, but who knows where they are. I'm sure when I pass on to higher ground, the inheritors of the church will have fun going through all of those transcriptions. It might even turn out to be a new book.
Well,
but
that would
be
fabulous.
I will do that, Carolyn.
Great suggestion,
yeah, so,
Carolyn.
Yeah, and then I just have two blessing requests. One is for healing the divisions in America and in the world, because we are in a very polarized state. And also a blessing there to have protection for those who are going to be taking office, so that they can actually do their job in safety. Given America's pretty sad history of assassinations, Lincoln, JFK, Robert Kennedy, all of this stuff,
right,
we want to be able to have safety and a lack of divisiveness, so that the work can actually be done that's necessary to heal the country.
Mm.
And one more person, I think that's what's needed, because divisiveness, united we stand, divided we fall, basically. Never a very true statement. And then finally, a little blessing for my son, who is trying to move over to Maui to be with me, with his new baby, and they're having endless glitches with a place they're trying to buy, and so I just would like that to smooth over and that everything works nicely for them so that they can have an easy transition over here. So that's the final little personal blessing as opposed to a blessing for America and the world as a whole.
Okay. So, and what a wonderful place for a child to grow up.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I look forward to having that letter to look over and over again because it was wonderful to hear you read that out. Yeah. I was really with you back in 2017 or whenever you first put that out. So I'm very grateful that you've mentioned it today.
Me too.
I think a lot of people will like it.
And I'm looking forward to Nowhere to Go But Up. That's another thing to look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it also.
Oh, this is great. Thank you, Carolyn.
It has
taken me love everything
a year.
You have to bring.
Yeah. Well, I'll say goodbye so you can get on with the meat of the today. So that's wonderful, and I love you all. Love and blessings to everybody in the call today.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, Nancy.
You.
I think we need to. Well, all right. What we're going to do we're not going to have. No, let's go ahead and take the two callers. I know that one is Stormy, and Stormy, I would really rather talk to you after we have our lesson because you always add something good. Okay? So, okay. And then we have Anne. Let's take Anne in case she needs to ask for a blessing.
Perfect. I'll open her line. Hi, Anne. We're so happy you're here.
Hi, thank you. This is Anne from Seabrook, Texas. And I just want to let everybody know that a celebration. So, several years ago, I asked for a blessing for my daughter, Christine, and the blessing was just that Yeshua knew exactly what she needed, and I just asked for a blessing that he would provide what she needed. And a few years later, which is now, she has been blessed by tenfold. It is amazing. I just see Yeshua's work and everything that's happening in her life, and it's just so wonderful, and the blessings are just so abound. I can't even have words for it. So the blessings do help, and we know that sometimes they take time, but he knows in all his wisdom exact need. We don't always have to be specific because he knows.
He does. Absolutely, he knows. Well, and one of the reasons is that he knows what's possible. We live under many layers of accumulation that brought on our need for blessings. And I would say that most of the time for myself, I'm not speaking for everyone else, but these layers are built up from choice points I made that then required more choice points to bring solutions to choice points that didn't work. In other words, what I mean about a choice, I would come to a point where some decision had to be made. And I made a decision that worked for me at the time, but it didn't have long-range values. So then somewhere in the near or distant future, I would have to choose something else to change what didn't work. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Then those choice points become quite layered, and they're also tied in with environmental situations that affect other people. And so the way has to be cleared. And I think that's one of the reasons he said to the apostles, I am the way, meaning he didn't mean, really, that he could do things they couldn't, because he also said, whatsoever I do, you shall be able to do also. But that word, that tense, future tense was placed in there. You will be able to do. In other words, yes. We have to work toward the point of our full realization. And most of us are not there now. And if we were, we would just, you know, we would just put our hands in prayer and say God's will be done, and it would be done. But it's not often that quick, because there are other points, other situations that have to be resolved first. We have to bring other people into our healing. We have to bring other situations into our solutions. Because this is why we must love one another, because we have to help other people resolve their problems in order that our problems be resolved along with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very big thing that we need to learn about democracy. It doesn't all happen in the voting booth. It happens by the way we choose to live. In other words, do the choices
Absolutely.
I make benefit others as well? That's where we really vote.
I think the blessings open the door, and it just really made a difference.
And they do.
So we're just so,
they yeah. open the door. They cause us to trust and listen. And you'd be surprised. Most of us would be surprised how close that solution really is. It's very close. But as long as we keep our defenses up, we won't find it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everyone.
Thank you, Ann.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Ann, for letting us know how wonderful it is for your daughter. So we're so glad you called. So Glenn,
yes.
I'm going to close the board now and get myself muted so we can get into that lesson today.
Okay, great. Well, there's a lot to cover here, but we're going to do it. We're going to get through it. And we have, well, my goodness, you know, we've got about 20 minutes to cover a lot of information, and some of it is really just self-evident. The first, he says, the most important of the remaining rights is to have a relationship with our Creator. Well, who wouldn't believe that? And yet, most people in this world don't even think it's relevant. My Creator, well, I outgrew my mom and dad 2 decades ago. Why do I want to get back to a relationship? We're not talking about your mom and dad. We're talking about the one who really created you. And then so we're into what could be, theological suppression that definitely exist in some parts of the world. And it's getting to be a little bit difficult, even in our country, to promote and express your beliefs or to make references to God in a non-religious environment. But it used to be in our country, it was In God We Trust, and that name was not deleted from over doors, in rooms, in schoolhouses, in courts. You do have a right, an open right, to consider how any decision you make could affect your relationship with God. That doesn't mean if you make the wrong choice, He'll stop loving you. But it could directly affect your ability to be in a rightful and productive dialogue with God, where He guides your thinking, your actions, your creations, and your connections. And bring sacred connections to you. Makes a lot of difference, my friends. Now, the second right, extended right, beyond the first three is you have a right to know yourself as love and to manifest that personal truth in your own unique and meaningful way. You have a right to be in the midst of other people as a loving presence, not obligated to take actions of love that are generally mandated or presented as compulsory. You don't have to serve at the local charity bar. You don't have to love people that don't love you, that offend your values and your sensitivities. But you will be better off if when you're in their presence, you can still be the love that you are. Don't allow anybody to take away the power of you being the love that you are. This is so beautifully stated in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup will runneth over. Okay. It wasn't changed. It didn't say it would be prepared, that the table would be set before me, and I would be expected to show generosity and love to my enemies. No, he didn't say that, because he doesn't take away that particular, he doesn't present that as an obligation to us. It's a choice, yes, but it's not an obligation. But what your right is, your eternal right, is to still be the love that you are. Now, this is something that our national press could learn from. And that is to be in the presence of whatever you consider a person to be, an enemy, a friend, an invader, an ally, whatever you consider them to be, you be the love that you are, which means you'll tell it the way it is. You will retain your honesty, and you will represent what is in front of you as an honest report, because you have integrity, you have decency, you have honor, and you won't breach those just because you're in the presence of your enemy. I hope you can see the difference between being the love that you are and doing loving things. Of course it's important to do loving things, but you have a right to select which loving things you want to do. You know, you've only got so much time on this earth, so much energy, only so much resources, only so many hours to be with your friends and your family. So yes, you get to choose, but no matter whether you're with friends, family, or enemies, be the love that you are. You have a right to do that. And don't allow anyone to suppress that. Don't allow anyone to take that away from you. It's yours. God-given, it's yours. Okay, now moving on to the next right. You have a right to be in communion with that which you love. And especially that which loves you back. Some of the ideas that went around in pre-election hysterics included, well, we should take these children away from their parents. And I would just go, huh? What? You cannot take away from someone something they truly, genuinely love. That loves them back. Now, I will grant you, there are some parents, not many, thank goodness, that have been criminally abusive of their children. And intervention was necessary in those cases. But just to comply with a political rhetoric, no way. No way, ever. And the same is true. Just because parents have a different value system from the collective and coordinated conformist opinion of public beliefs. Well, we want to form a public belief around this kind of idea. And you don't have a right as parents to interfere with that. No, that's not true. You have a right to be with your family. You have a right to be with your friends, for people to meet in friendly assembly. The right of free assembly was a very important factor in the founding of our nation. And in many countries today, you cannot be in free assembly with people of a like mind because you're considered to be formatting the venue for revolution. So you're not allowed to be with your friends. You're not allowed together. You have the right together. This was true. This was a burden that the early Christians had to deal with because Rome had authorized an automatic sentence to anyone who was a follower of Christ to be killed on the spot. On the spot. No trial. No review. No official judgment or delegation for execution. Just kill him. But this didn't apply to women because women had no rights in those years. And so women took over, and women also were really expected in public to have their face covered, which was a convenient way of navigating that didn't call attention to anything unusual being hidden. So they carried all the messages for the meetings so that Christians in the early church could meet together. And this is one, it's generally believed that most of the time they met in tombs and mortuaries and underground, but that wasn't always the case. They did actually meet in the large homes with dining rooms and have meals together. So they met in a lot of places, but the most important part of making that happen was to get the messages out to people so that they could actually come together. And we owe the women of early Christianity our gratitude for survival of the church. They did it. And with a certain risk to their life, not as much as the men would have had. But the men would have been killed, and of course they knew it. So they took their place in the order of championship, heroism, encourage. So, moving on to the next right, you have the right to know and to profit by your connections with all of life and to be healed by your surrender to wholeness. I think this applies to everybody more than you actually know it. Because Today, we live in a very engineered and highly artificial culture where our food is not always grown in the natural way. And most of our medicines are actually far from natural. And more than that, proponents of natural healing and even natural foods are often severely punished. I remember the days when Larry was working in close coordination with Jim Humble about Magic Miracle Solution, which was loved by many and very controversial to the FDA and the medical community. And Jim Humble's life was threatened many times. He eventually had to leave this country and begin his worldwide travel. He lived for a while in every country in Africa. And one of the things that he was really blessed with discovering in Africa is how close people were still to the land for their food, gathering wild food, in fact, and their medicine, drawing medicine from the earth. You got to remember, God gave all of this to us. And he said, this is your food. This is your medicine. And we've gotten away from that. I think we need to honor that right and that freedom and be very, very careful about how those in power interfere with our natural rights to healing. There might even come a day where if they get away with too much, they'll start invading our spiritual rights to spiritual healing because it might falsely direct us away from contrived artificial medicine. Anything artificial is not a right given by God. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. There have been a few really good, beneficial medicines that have cured major, major epidemics. Well, such as penicillin for tuberculosis, and the polio vaccine for polio. And I am not in any way suppressing the genius of researchers who have brought to our attention ways we can advance our healing. A classic person who walks on both sides of the line was Linus Pauling with his research of vitamin C and other natural remedies that could then be given intravenously or in other ways or combined with other treatments to make some of the synthetic medicines work better and be safer. So this is not, I'm not saying it, and it's not reported as some kind of negative objection to the products of our scientific mind. We were given that genius, and let that genius prosper and reach its highest level, but it should not consider nature its enemy. When you, in your natural mode, are with nature, doing what nature has provided you with, you should not be considered to be disrespecting the laws of the land. There's something if you are, because your right to be connected to the earth, it was given to you. It was given to you, and there are many wonderful secrets there that are waiting to be discovered and applied to our betterment. Okay, now moving on.
You have the right to enter your heart consciously and to know the higher intelligence which it is providing for your life. Well, I don't have to say much about that because we spent an extensive amount of time when we studied the higher intelligences of the heart. Whatever you're facing, there will be one of those intelligences that applies, if not all. Make reference to those, and it's your right. Now, the next one is something that you might wonder about just a little bit, but I'll help you see the various things it really does pertain to. You have a right to experience infinity from your own viewpoint, to appreciate within its vast potential the values and meanings which support your reason for living and being. Now, I would say the obvious thing it pertains to is your right to select your religion. There were really no religious issues in the life of Yeshua. He was a Jew. Very simple. He was a Jew. And the Jews decided not to accept him as their Messiah. So that was their right. I'm actually expressing a right that they had, that he would agree to. They had a right to reject him. And those who studied his teachings had a right to coexist together. And he allowed it. For 400 years, there were more than 70 different sects. S-E-C-T-S. Sects of Christianity. And they all had their own bishop. They all had unique interpretations of his words. And the Gnostics were among the most extreme, I would say, in their emphasis upon the non-material side, in other words, the mystical side of Christianity. And for that reason, they were kind of moved off to the side and had to live a life somewhat independent from conventional Christianity once it was legalized. Once it was legalized, it was moved into conformity. And those who didn't conform, sometimes they were just executed, or at the very least, they were shunned and pushed aside, or called a heretic. Well, this is the one that says you have the right to take your own viewpoint on it and not be shunned or pushed aside because you are a spiritual being. You are a child of God. You are the one who is a steward of your eternity. You have a right to envision and think about what for you would be heaven. What for you would be eternity. Did you live before? Will you live again? Those kinds of questions are covered in this rite. And you don't have to conform to a particular religious belief. And you can have spiritual faith completely outside of a religious belief. You don't have to be religious in order to be spiritual. That's basically what this rite says. And you have it because you were created first in spirit. You are a soul. you are a soul who descended into incarnation, and you are a soul that will outlive your incarnation. So therefore, this right of spiritual choice is yours. Well, now, not necessarily do you choose for others, but it's your right for yourself. Okay? Now, next one. You also have a right to know. And this goes right along with the other one. You also have a right to know that you are immortal. You cannot be conformed to a belief that you live and you die and you're gone. Your property is confiscated. Your words and your actions are erased from the history of humanity. Everything you believed and lived for is discarded. You are immortal, which means your history, your future, your ancestors, and your legacy will be honored because you are not gone. You just laid the body to rest. You've done your work that could be done in physical form, and you're still here. And if not here, you will be in the next place. You need to go and serve God. And here we go again, another one. You have a right to live in fullness and to seek all the blessings of God. This is pretty much covered in the whole 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, it's so beautiful. He brings me to a banquet. And I shall be with the Lord forever. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And the fact that you're allowed to know that you are allowed to be prosperous. And prosperity could mean a lot of things, my friend. It's not just money. It's not just the things money can buy. In the community I grew up in, there were a lot of people who had a great life and they did not want to be rich. They didn't want to encounter the predators and the parasites that would begin to plague them, wanting their money or the obligations to comply with materialistic standards of living. They wanted to have their farm, their chickens, their garden, their friends, their family, a good life in the fresh air, on the good soil. And for them, that was prosperity. And there's a rite that follows on that, which is almost identical, and yet it's a little different. It's a little different twist. So I'll read it to you. Most suffering occurs because humankind does not know it has a right to the blessings of life. Here's how I feel that it differs from the right to abundance and prosperity. I have actually encountered a number of people who really have quite a good middle-class life. They have a home it's paid for. They have a nice car it's paid for. The kids have money to go to college. They have a really good life. And they will say, yeah, but you know, I was sick last year and I couldn't afford to have this or that medical procedure. And I notice, yeah, I've got a nice car, but I'd really like to have a Mercedes. When no matter how much you have, your attention is always on lack, that's where suffering comes in. Be great. Be glad. Praise God. Thank God for what you have. because everything you have is a blessing that was provided for you, and it's probably enough. This person I was talking about, she said, yep, I thought I was going to need a medical procedure, and I didn't have the money for it, and I felt, you know, I was really being punished. And I said, I'll just make up a name. I said, Brenda, did you actually need that medical procedure? Well, no, I found a natural healing, and it did the job. But what if it hadn't done the job? And so I said, Brenda, where's your faith? Where is your faith? And she says, well, I guess I don't have any. And I said, there's the reason you're suffering, right there. You're facing the wrong problem and trying to solve it with the wrong solution. Increase your faith. Increase your hope for a better life. And you're going to find the answers there. I had a little interference here. One of my little precious cats had to sit on the book. I guess she wanted to make a contribution. And I actually, the next one is, you have the right to make your own decisions in life. She was probably going for that one. And I also went for that one and decided she didn't belong sitting on my book. So we do have a right to make decisions. And that is a right. Now, it doesn't mean that we are exempt from the consequences of our decisions. This is where people get the right to decide confused with what it really is and what they want it to be. What they want it to be is the right to decide without consequences. There is no such thing. And many, many of the teachings and the parables that Yeshua gave to the apostles is, as you sow, so shall you reap. You know, whatever you do will have a particular result. You can choose. Well, read his parable about the talents, and it will lay out for you the several different choices that people could make if they're each given the same amount of money, which in those days were called talents. Okay, what they choose, each had different consequences. So there's no such thing as choice without a consequence. And this is what we have to unburden as we look at receiving a blessing, as we look at forgiving ourselves. You might forgive yourself for something you did that was, shall we say, unconstructive. It didn't do you or anyone else any good, and you're really sorry you made that choice. Okay. But what led you into the need to make that choice in the first place? You may need to look deeper, because there's usually layers and layers of choice, all of which had consequences. And I know you really don't want to go that deep, but one way or the other, your life is going that deep. So it's better to make it conscious than to just walk away from it. It's better to know that you're willing to be responsible for your life. When you're responsible for your life, then your future choices will have more benefits to the whole of who you are. And it's not easy. It really is not easy. And our next right is, you have the right to an honest and correct understanding of life as it affects you. This is the responsibility of parents, of teachers, of the press, of researchers, of science, of medical research, medical doctors. We need to have a right diagnosis and not just scientific theory put back at us. We need to know what we're talking about, what they're talking about, and that allows us to make a correct choice. Which leads us to the next and final blessing. Well, it's not final, actually, it's the next to final, which is you have a right to experience personal growth and to pursue your life with decency. I think it's really important to understand that because it's not just about having an education, being successful in a business or a family. It's actually about the fact that when you outgrow certain circumstances, such as the ones you were born into, or a state of poverty that you worked through to get an education or get a start in life, you're going to leave some people behind, and they're going to judge you. They're going to say, well, you just used us. You betrayed us. And you've got to have the courage to hold your own to the right where you moved. And if you can, continue to be their friend and encourage them to continue to grow and move on up. But if you can't, don't give up your right. Don't go back to where someone is trying to hold you down. There's far too much of this going on in our world because we're putting one of the highest prices on conformity and confusing it with legal rights, justifiable rights. Conformity is nothing other than doing the same thing together. That could include mob consciousness. It could include criminal consciousness. It could include poverty consciousness. Look, I mean, if you think you're going to live better than us, then you're just too uppity. Get out of here and go away. You know, that's around the planet. It is. You know, if you think you can grow into a higher state of spirituality than the church you grew up into, they may disown you. They may. But you still have a right to your belief. You have a right to your hope, your belief, and the grace that God has poured upon you. Live inside your right, whatever category that right may fall into. And we've got to move on to our closure because we have the wonderful privilege of offering and receiving a blessing. So last of all, you have a right to your own beliefs. There are a lot of rights here. And they all came from the three great basic beliefs that we all need to love and respect. We have a whole presentation on that last week. And let's see. Yeah. I would rather you just listen to it. The recording is online. It's too lengthy for me to try to summarize right now because we need to get into our blessing. I hope this has been helpful to you for actually and most especially follow up onto the decisions that we made in this country last Tuesday, because our rights have not been eclipsed. The rights that were given to you by the grace of God will always be yours. Implement your rights. Stand by your rights. Be your rights and freedoms. And that will help to assure all of us that we live in a true democracy. Okay. Well, let's wiggle a little bit now. If you can stand up, please do. Okay. If you can't, then just wiggle your toes, your fingers, whatever will move. You know, we've got to move to assist, even though our heart pumps the blood through our body, it needs help, because you can have your knee closed for too long and food and blood is just not flowing to your foot. You ever gotten up from sitting too long and your feet were numb and it was insecure to even stand on them? Well, that's an example of what I'm talking about. Same with your elbows. So if you ever awakened with a stiff neck, that's probably because you didn't turn over all night. So you got to move to keep things moving. And our immune system comes from our lymphatic movement, which is a kind of cellular vibration, osmosis and stimulation, vibration that just moves your white blood cells and the other components of your immune system from cell to cell to cell throughout your whole body. And yes, there are lymphatic centers in your body that we need to massage and keep working, and not to put bindings over or limit their ability to stimulate movement. But that movement of your lymph flow is going on all the time, and it doesn't have a heart to pump it. So it counts on you to pump it through your bodily movements. That's why I want you to stand up if you can, or move whatever body part you can. Stand and just raise your arms up real high. If you can, just move them up above your head. Okay? And then be a bird. Bring them down by your side and up again. Flap your wings a little bit. Okay? And then make a little windmill out of your arms and circle it, because that will loosen the rotator cuff in your shoulder, bringing not only lymph fluid but blood into your central body cavity, helping your heart flow and pump as it should. Okay. Turn your head from the right to the left. Get blood flowing up to your head. That will bring oxygen into your brain. And we definitely need that in order to think clearly. Whether you went to college or not, or you just studied to get prepped for a job or some kind of career training or athletics, whatever you did that caused you to focus tightly, getting to some results, those results would have been impaired if in the process you didn't get oxygen to your brain. You've got to do that. If you ever feel just a little bit insecure when you wake up in the morning, it's because you don't have enough oxygen in your brain and your heart's not pumping as fast as it will 5 minutes later. So get that oxygen up there. Get it into all parts of your body. From just a strictly biological perspective, oxygen is your great healer, and you've got to keep it moving. You've got to keep it flowing for your body. Deep breathing really helps. Walking really helps. If you can run a little bit when you walk, then do that just to accelerate that breath for a little while. Doesn't mean you have to go out and be a jogger. You just might find a pretty little stretch, a secure sidewalk, and you decide to just gallop a little bit for 20 paces. It helps if you can do it safely, okay? And now what we want to do is we want to bend. Bend forward as far as you can. Don't make yourself dizzy, but just bend forward and then up, because we've got to involve our spine in this. And then tilt your spine back a little bit, okay? Not enough to cause strain or stress, just back a little bit. Now turn your torso to your right. Pause, take a breath. Now turn it to your left. Pause and take a breath. Okay. Now, I want you to take a really, really deep breath. The kind that you have to pull your diaphragm down and your ribs off, almost out of shape to hold all the air. That kind of breath. And take it also up to your sinuses. Yeah, we're going for a big breath. Okay, and hold it. Just a couple of seconds. Don't challenge yourself, just a couple of seconds. Now exhale it through your mouth. If you've ever wondered why most therapists and protocols that use breathing as a key part of what they do say to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, here's the reason. When you breathe through your nose, you carry it up to your sinuses. And one of the reasons so many of you with sinus drainage and allergy sensitivity have it worse than it could or should be, is you're not getting enough oxygen into your sinuses. I mean, really practice deep nasal breathing where you pull that breath up, push it up so far that your shoulders and your ribs have to push it up even further. Get that breath up there. And now blow it out your mouth. The reason for blowing out your mouth is because you clear out more air when you do that. Whether you're breathing into your lungs or you're breathing into your sinuses, either way or both, you clear out everything more through your mouth. And breathing through your nose will make sure your breath gets up to your sinuses, which most of the time it doesn't, or at least not enough. And it's got to go up to your sinuses to keep them clean, healthy, and get enough breath into your brain, into the upper part of your body. All right. Now, just pause for a minute and let's think about how we brought our body back into a state of greater receiving, openness, and sensitivity. And in doing that, I want you to start your what we call our four square breath, which is we're going to count to four, okay? And we're going to just visualize that we're breathing around a square box so that our breath has dimension to it. We will exhale, just a normal breath, just normal, nothing forced, nothing exaggerated, but we're going to count to four, and we're going to breathe it, we're going to exhale it, breathe it around one side of that box, okay, and pause for a couple of seconds. Now count to four and wait two more seconds as your attention goes on to the resting side of that box. Now inhale deeply to the count of four, but even though it's deep, it's just a normal breath. You're just going to count to the four. And now pause to the count of four. What are we doing? We're allowing breath to do its work. We're not just pumping air out and in without thinking about the blessing it brings us. We're exhaling it and giving it away so that our breath becomes the breath of the world. That's a great act of charity and healing. Now we're going to inhale to the count of four. And what are we doing? We're taking back the nourishment of oxygen we need to supply our life with the energy, the wholeness, and the healing we need. And we're going to pause again to the count of four. What are we doing? We're giving our body a chance to receive. You've got to allow for that. You can't just, if we compared this to getting a paycheck, let's say you get a paycheck, you run to the bank, you deposit it, and you never think about what you're going to do with it. That's a really faulty use of money, because first, there needs to be gratitude. Second, there needs to be appreciation and satisfaction. And third, there needs to be a responsible budgeting of money that will not be endless. What you have right now is what you have for a while. How will you use it? Teach your body to think like that. And you do. You are the soul that understands this. But you must teach your body not to be impatient. Sometimes the impatience of our body and the anxiety of our body can thwart and undermine the great presence of our soul in attracting, receiving, and supplying the blessings we need. So teach your body the blessed understanding of the four square breath, which is completely normal, but mindful, aware, full of awareness, and here to serve you with its wisdom. Continue as I pray to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, friend, brother, and sister to us all, the one who has saved us from our many iniquities, or fateful actions that led us into danger or dispute. We pray for your forgiveness and your redirection of life into unity, love, and respect, honor, and life, that we may be whole again. We ask for your guidance on our country, that we may heal from the wounds of division and find again the blessings of unity, to love one another, and to be in harmony with the grace of God. In fact, to look at and for the blessings of God. In all of this, we ask that you hear the many prayers that were sent in to me, which I ask of you, and the many requests that were given to our meeting today, and our understanding about the ways of spirit, the offerings of Holy Spirit, your love, and the grace of our Creator. As we grow into one people and one planet, we ask that you help us take care of the dire necessities of our children, that they are fed, that they are loved, and of those who have suffered great pain in their health and their needs to be healed. May we find the right and proper ways to gain the greatest healing we can have. We can ever have in all of the positive and beneficial ways, knowing also that you are the great healer. We ask for your healing. We ask for your love. Of course, we know we have that, but we ask anyway so that you know how much we love and appreciate you. Now we surrender in our willfulness or our insecurity or our defensiveness to just be in the hands of God, to be touched by your love and filled with the Holy Spirit as we receive your blessing. We ask all of these things in your gracious name, your divine name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conveying the energy of the Holy Spirit, that the love of Christ may sink deep within our being and illuminate our souls? Let's be together.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, the receiving needs to continue. Let's start it off real strong by going to lie down. I want you to just go to your bed or a flat sofa. Be horizontal. Let no part of you be greater or above any other. For every part of your body are equal. Your soul is in them all. That allows you to be receptive, even for the parts that are happy and the parts that may be sad. Let them all be blessed. Allow your whole life to be a whiteboard upon the blessings that the hand of God can write upon. And I look forward to being with you again next week. So, love from me and much goodwill and good happenings this week that fill your life with hope and joy. Bye-bye for now.